All right, well, praise the Lord. Welcome to another Sunday with Zion's Trumpet, yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing tonight out there in Pal Talk land? Looks like everyone's doing good. Good, great. Goof? What's Goof? Hey, Jim. How am I doing? Thanks, K-Mens. I'm doing good. Doing pretty good. You mean good, Jim, right? You're doing good. Praise the Lord. Right, okay. Welcome back. Anybody have anything you'd like to share? Anything's on your heart right away? Nothing? Okay, listen. I got an announcement to make. We have two guests at our house, so we're going to have a special guest tonight speaking on Zion's Trumpet. And they are Brian, you guys remember Holly Dog, Brian Hollingsworth, and Joseph, remember Brother Joey, Joey to Perfection. They're both here, spending some time visiting with us for a few days, maybe a few weeks. So they've been here all week, causing trouble and diverting my attention away from things. So, and I thought it might be nice to have them just say hello while they're here. And it's a Sunday night. We're all together. And so I'm going to let them say hello to y'all, if you don't mind. I don't know which one wants to go first. Who's going first? You?
I guess that's
okay. Okay, Brother Brian's going to sit down here and get a driver's seat. He's going to share something, say hello or whatever.
Yeah, Joey, Joey needs some encouragement to slay that chicken again.
Yeah, Joey's got that chicken.
Hello, everybody. It's good to see you guys in the room tonight. I've had a real blessed week being able to meet everybody up here. Hi, Irma. And it's been a really good time. The Lord's been working, and I can't thank him enough. Hi, Sissy. And also to Lisa. I don't see her in here tonight, but I wanted to say that I appreciate your encouragement, Lisa, when you listen to this tomorrow or whenever you get a chance. That meant a lot to me, so I thank you for that. I wanted to say something today, too. Joey and I went out to a state park here in the Great North Woods, just down the road a little bit. We're going to spend some time fellowshipping with the Lord. It was an absolutely beautiful park. The Lord spent some time really ministering to both of us through his creation today. And on our walk there by the creek and these huge, majestic trees, we decided to climb a hill there that the power company had cleared out for a fire break and to put in some power lines. So we're climbing this hill, and about halfway up this hill or a quarter of the way up this hill, there's a trail there that trucks, you know, would drive up to, you know, perform maintenance on the power lines. And about a quarter of the way up this hill, I found a bunch of flowers that were nestled in among some weeds and rocks, and they really stood out. The Lord used that to minister to me. And I brought to my mind when Jesus was talking in Matthew 6:28-29, he said, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And I don't want to take the Lord's teaching out of context. I definitely don't want to do that. We seek God's kingdom first, and everything we have need of, he'll add to us. But we do have struggles and toils that we have to go through. We do have times that we have to fight against the enemy. We've got times that we have to fight against the things that we've sown in our flesh so that God can free us from the bondage that we most often place ourselves in. And everything in life has to struggle that way. And that just ministered to me, that we all have those struggles. You know, a little way, it's probably a little over halfway up this hill, we decided we're going to sit down. We found this big rock, and I've got asthma, so Joey was outpacing me a little bit there. It was a little bit hard to catch my breath, but as we sat down and fellowship, we prayed, and the Lord ministered to us again about the climb that we just made up this hill. You know, we'd stop to rest a little over halfway up. We didn't make it to the top. We didn't reach the highest point on that hill. And there's been a lot of my walk with the Lord that I've felt like, you know, I know I've messed things up. And there's been times that I've even felt like I've come to the end of His mercy for me. But through repentance and the vision that the Lord's given me of what He's called me to, this high calling, by His grace, I can keep going. I can continue on in that walk. And I can reach that highest point. And for sure, everybody who He's called to this walk in the high calling, He's equipped with everything necessary to attain the best that God has to offer for all of us. So that's all I had. I just wanted to encourage everyone tonight that even when we fail at a trial, or when we sit down to rest before we reach that pinnacle, we know that God's given us His mercy and grace and His strength to keep up, to get up and keep going and continue on toward that freedom from sin and death into a life where we can walk with Jesus in white. You guys have a good evening.
Amen. Good word, Brian. Good word. Okay, Joey Boy's up next. He's going to share a little something or say hello, whatever. I don't know. Whatever he's got there.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm so thankful to be with you guys tonight. This is kind of a little different, you know. We're usually in the, you know, in the chat room, me and Holly Dog, and listening in. But so this is a little bit different. I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad to be overall visiting. Brother Dan and the family here, and it's been a great blessing for me. It's been encouraging, challenging, and very much. It's been pretty fruitful so far, actually. And you know, it's been a time of searching of my own heart, my own walk. And so, like I said, it's been pretty challenging. So. Again, I just wanted to say hello to you guys, and I also wanted to read a little bit of something too. I wrote a while back, so it's not a fresh thing to say, but I think it should be encouraging for me anyway, personally, since it came as a personal exhortation for me. So I'm just gonna read this. It's just a small paragraph. But let me read the scripture first. And this is about David ascending to the hill of the Lord, which was Zion, which included a great fight. And 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem and to the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said, On that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusite and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And so anyway, this is a personal exhortation, kind of like the Lord gave it to me a while back. It says, You've been bruised up and wounded. You've been fighting and getting all bloody, spiritually, of course. You took hits and attacks from the enemy, and the Lord used all that as a part of bringing you to get to where you're at today. One thing for sure, you are not in the same place as you were a year or a month or maybe even a week ago, because the Lord has been teaching you through the fiery trials you've been going through to grow you up. The biggest mistake you can make right now is for you to give up the fight or even allow hindrances to fight with all your might. Can you imagine with all the loss and all of the investments of energy and all the tears and pain and suffering and all the time and effort you invested to fight your way to pay the price to get to where you're at in the Lord today, only to be disqualified in the race because you got careless in the fight, therefore you failed to endure to the very end, losing your full reward, or simply another man took your crown who rightly deserves it for his complete victory. And so anyway, I hope that makes sense. Like I said, it was a personal exhortation for me, but I hope somebody gets blessed by that. And so I'm encouraged anyway to cry out for the Lord's divine power, his grace, his true grace, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of the race, to climb Zion and to take the stronghold of Zion like David did in the spirit. And, you know, because I believe that we need the Lord's grace. We're absolutely weak. We are absolutely messed up, earthen vessels. And, you know, being here among Dan and the whole family here is just showing me that. The Lord's just showing me how weak I am more and more. Fellowshipping with Holly Dog, it's been challenging my faith, and it's been humbling for me. And so I'm pretty much encouraged to cry out in my weakness, to cry out for God's grace that comes from his throne. You know, I was meditating about Matthew 25, about the 10 virgins. And, you know, of course, you guys know the story probably more than I do. But one of the things that I saw there was the lacking of oil among the five foolish virgins as opposed to the wise virgins. And, you know, it encouraged me to pray and ask, Lord, you know, give me oil in the race. Give me the sufficient oil to endure to the very end. And so I believe there's a price. The Lord shows me, was encouraging me that there is a price to receive the oil. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that price is to purchase that oil with the price of laying our lives down for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, there's, you know, Dan can expand more about that, but you know, it's revolving around dying to self. It's revolving around exchanging our lives, our stinking selfish lives, for the life of Jesus Christ. And that's, I believe, the way we receive oil in order to make it to the very end. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I appreciate your time, and you guys have a good night. Here's Dan.
Amen. Good job. Very good, brother. You guys did very good. Amen. That's a good word. And I have something to go along with what he's talking about King David a little bit, and so I think that's Lord, because I had no idea what he was going to say. He has no idea what I was going to say, because I didn't have any idea what I was going to say till about 4 hours ago, and I just got done working on it. So that's very good. Very good. And if you guys want to say anything after we're done, after I'm done or whatever, come on back in and say something. Won't give you anything to share after I'm done, whatever. You know, don't feel like you just talk once and that's it. You can't talk again.
Okay.
All right? If you have anything to share, just, you know, come on back in and let me know.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I want to get do something on, I was reading last night, well, since these guys were here, we've been sharing a lot about our past history and some of the things we've gone through, some of the things the Lord has taught us. And some of the people have come through our little group. Some of the people have needed deliverance, some of the successes, some failures. And we were going through some of the failures and what happened and different things like that. And my mind was being, going back into all these people and all things that happened. And my emotions were being stirred because whenever we try to help somebody and they don't make it, it's a very grievous thing to me personally. I don't like losing to the enemy. Whenever I'm in a fight for somebody's soul, I hate losing to the enemy. I just don't like losing. That's just the kind of person God's made me. I will fight and fight and fight for them to the very end until there's just no hope and they've made the wrong choice and that's it. And I don't like losing to the enemy when we're going to fight for somebody's soul, for their deliverance. And when we do lose because they won't yield or something like that, it's grieving. It's distressing. Makes me want to weep. And also there's been, you know, people who've been in our fellowship and flow with us and were one with us in spirit and they got deceived or something happened. And they end up going off and, you know, becoming our grieving experiences too. And so, you know, we're just sharing things with them, these guys this week. And some of these memories are coming back and some of the emotions are coming back, you know, that transpired at those times. And I was reading something last night late, I was reading the account of David when he lamented for the death of Jonathan and Saul, and I thought the Lord gave me a little something to share. It's not going to be very long because I didn't have much time to work on it, but it's just a little exhortation, okay? And it's also about David. And let me read this scripture here in 1 Samuel 31:1. 1 Samuel 31:1. You're all aware of the account there. There's a big fight coming on with the Philistines and the Israelites in Mount Gilboa. And Saul got defeated there. That's where Saul died. And I just want to get one sentence here in the beginning of Samuel. It says in 1 Samuel 31:1, it says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa." And another verse, a couple of verses later, I think it's in verse 7, it says, "The men of Israel fled the cities of God." They fled from the cities of God. They fled from the enemy. They were beaten, and they fled from the cities of God. And so I was meditating on this, and as we sat around thinking about the experiences we had in the past and how grieved I was when people didn't make it, you know, I started, you know, just thinking of this scripture of the men of Israel fleeing from the Philistines. And, you know, so 1 Samuel starts that tragic statement. "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled." And when you read that account in the Old Testament, we have to keep in mind that the things which happened to national Israel then, back then in the Old Testament, they're just a type, a shadow, or a prophecy of what's going to happen to the New Testament believers in this age. The Old Testament was the age of prophecy. The New Testament is the age of fulfillment. The Old Testament with natural Israel, it's a revelation of natural Israel. That's whole prophecy and revelation of New Testament spiritual Israel. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "Now these things happen to them." It's Old Testament Israel. "These things happen to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." So you look at the Old Testament, and you read the Old Testament, and what you're reading there, God made the writers of the Bible write those things because he wants them to be example to us, and we're supposed to learn from them. They're our instruction. What happened to Israel is our instruction. It's not just historical events. It's not just stories from a storybook. They're an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall like them. That's 1 Corinthians 10:11 through 12. That was the new American Standard Version. So the record of Israel in the Old Testament is not just an historical count of a group of people who were chosen by the true God. You know, Paul said everything that happened to them, it's an example. They're written for our instruction. The Old Testament is written to instruct us, to teach us divine truth, eternal truths. And if we read the history of Israel as just another, you know, history, another event of foreign people, we're going to be missing many important things that God would have us understand about our day. So in the Old Testament, which was the age of the flesh, flesh fought against flesh. The physical armies of Israel warred against the physical armies of the Canaanites, which the Canaanites were the armies of Satan. All those different armies they fought, they were the armies of Satan at that time. They were armies of Satan, and Israel was God's army. In the New Age, which is the age of the Spirit, spiritual armies of Israel, which are believers, us, we are called to war against the spiritual armies of Satan. We are called to war against demon spirits. So when we come to this account of Israel's defeat at the hands of one of Satan's armies, the Philistines, and we read how the men of Israel fled, we need to see more than just an historical account. A literal battle took place thousands of years ago in a far-off land. The Philistines were just visible instruments through whom demon spirits were seeking to destroy the armies of God in that hour. They were the human vessels through who the principalities and the powers worked through in order to destroy the testimony of God in the earth. They were working to destroy the testimony of Christ in that time, just like they're working now through different ways and means and people to destroy the testimony of Christ in our day. So Satan, through natural armies, he had declared war on the spiritual testimony God had raised up at that time in the earth, which was the nation and the people of Israel. Okay, and that war was fought both overtly. The armies of Satan would literally, physically attack Israel and try to wipe out that army, try to wipe out the people, try to wipe them from the face of the earth. That was an overt attack. But Satan also taught his armies and taught his people how to trick the Israelites, to intermingle with them, intermarry with them, get them involved in their idolatry and the worship of their gods, acceptance of their culture, which is based on their false religions and things like that. in order to dilute their spiritual strength, which came from walking in obedience to God and obeying his commandments. Okay? So the conflict you see between Israel and the nations in the Old Testament, that was a war between the demons of hell through those vessels and the Spirit of God in Israel. It was a demon between the demons and God. All right? And that's what makes that statement in 1 Samuel 31:1 so tragic. That's what makes this account something more than just an historical account of a people in some faraway land thousands of years ago. When we see the reality behind that event, it's something to weep over. Satan had his representatives in the earth, the Philistines, claiming that all those various gods they were worshiping, and which pointed to him, Satan, was the true God. They were true gods. They were the gods. God had raised up a people in the earth to be his representatives, to show that he is the one and true God only. And when Satan's representatives set themselves in battle against the Lord's representatives, Satan and his host won. The Philistines fought against the men of Israel, and the men of Israel fled. The armies of the living God, the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, turned around and ran from the devils of hell. And that is a tragedy. But what's even worse is the fact that that natural event was just a type and shadow. It was just a prophecy that would take place in our day, but on a much deeper level and a much greater scale. For you see, just as God's army fled before Satan's army in those days, today God's army is still fleeing from the armies of Satan. Only today God's army doesn't consist of strictly natural, biological Jews. It consists of men and women of all races, from all cultures. New Testament Christians are called to be God's army this hour. And the majority of them have run from the armies of Satan. And the major difference between the Israelites of old and us today is that the Israelites knew they were running from the enemy. They knew they had been defeated. Today's Christians are so blind, so arrogant, so deceived, and live in such a la-la land, a fantasy world, a religious fantasy world, they've convinced themselves that there is no enemy to fight. They've created a little fantasy world in which the enemy's already defeated, and they're not even required to fight him. So they don't see themselves as running from the enemy, as being defeated by the enemy, and all that kind of stuff. They just walk around in an illusion, in a delusion, that Jesus did all for them. He's been defeated at the cross, and they don't have to worry about anything. He can't touch them. La, 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 and on it goes. So they're running and being defeated by the enemy while they boast that he's already been defeated by someone else. But that's not all that story is. At that time in Israel, the very leader of God's people himself went down forever in dishonorable defeat. Saul, the man God had raised up to lead his armies to victory. Saul, the one God set before all the nations, all the world, as his leader of his people and his army. And he was the one that was supposed to manifest God's power and get glory and honor for God's name in the earth. That man went down to defeat. And not only he defeated, the people were defeated, and the people left. They fled the cities of God. They fled God. They didn't flee the battle. They also fled God. And some of the Philistine soldiers went and they stripped Saul's armor from him. They sent it to all their fellow Philistines in the cities round about there to publish the news of the defeat of Israel and Israel's God and Israel's anointed man. And they worshipped and celebrated in the house of all their idols. Can you begin to get a picture of what was really going on in the spirit there? It's not just some story like from a storybook we're reading here. This is the official record of a time when the sons of the living God went down to the midst of horrible defeat before the demons of hell. The anointing of God came into disrepute. The power of God was scorned and ridiculed throughout the earth. The name of God was dragged down into the dust. And I'll tell you, King Saul was not a type and a prophecy of all these false teachers and false prophets and false apostles today that were never Christian, that had the spirit of Antichrist in the very beginning, that were never saved and never under their blood, totally false from the beginning. He's not a type and shadow of those people. Saul was a type and shadow and a prophecy of all the ministers who started out humble, who started out with pure motives, who began their Christian journey with a desire to see the enemies of God defeated, who are genuine blood-washed Christians, many unbaptized in spirit, and had been anointed with some kind of ministry to help God's people. Okay, that's what Saul represents. Somebody who started off well, who was anointed, who was powerful, who had God's hand on him, who was winning the battles. Okay, and the church of God down through the centuries has profited spiritually from many men like Saul, who started out well, but who later fell.